the perfect universe out from nothing. Now, can I ask you a question? Is there a difference between a mighty God and Almighty God? There's a difference. Is there a difference? In what way do you think they are different to one another? Oh, sorry, I'm not teaching the one true God, so I'll come back to Genesis. Right. In chapter 1, you find that God fashioned the universe into a universe of order. Okay? And you find that everything was made perfect. That's why the Bible says it was very good after God's creation. Now, the focus point of God's creation is humanity. It's not the vastness of the universe, it's humanity. So, from the creation itself, God put everything in place before He created humanity, shows that He loved us so much. Okay? Now, again, you can see how thoughtful God has been and how mindful He is towards us. That is the care and love of God for us. Now, not only that, when you come to chapter 2, He actually planted a garden, according to the Bible, planted a garden eastward in Eden, right? And He put the man whom He created in the Garden of Eden. And you find that is not the end of the story, right? And we realize that, there are at least two kind of relationship that a person must have, right? And the first one is a vertical one, that is between man and God. And the second is, a horizontal relationship. That is, we need to have, companions, we need to have families. Right now, God has not created man to live in isolation. God has created man to live together. Right? That's why we are what we call that gregarious animal. Right? We have to live in group or in a community. Yeah? And that is the purpose of God. Now, so you can see how careful God has been in creating man. Okay? He did not just leave Adam in the Garden of Eden. Actually, he thought about, the needs of Adam. Right? That's why in chapter 2, you can see the institution of marriage. Right? And, as a joke, for those who are not married, right? And most of you are not married. All of you are not married except me. Are you married? No. You're not married. Going to? Okay. Soon. No, okay. Those are not married, you see that they desire so much to get married because they say, so wonderful. Because, you know why? Because they feel that when you are married, you are loved by you're loved by your spouse or whatever. But those who are married, they say, forget it, man. If I have known it earlier, then I would not have got married. That kind of thing. That is a worldly concept. But you find that marriage is instituted by God, and not only that, marriage was made in the Garden of Eden. Now, as we know that the church, the Garden of Eden prefigures the church. Now, the best type of marriage is the marriage in the church, meaning everyone, like yourself, if you keep yourself pure and holy, if you get married in the church. Now, you find that in a worldly institution, if a person is to get married, outside the church, then there would be a solemnizer, to solemnize the marriage. But we find that in the church setting, the solemnizer is?
Jesus.
Because when the preacher, whoever conducts your wedding, when he invokes the name of Jesus, then you know that the presence of the Spirit is with us. And that kind of marriage is the most blessed. Right? That's why we always say to the youngsters, right? And keep yourself so that we wish that all of you can, get married in the Lord and also in the presence of God. Okay? I think that is the most beautiful. Okay? Now, I want to look at chapter 2. We read verse, before I come back to verse 17. Okay? Remind me to come back to verse 17. But I want to talk about marriage first. For chapter 2, verse 17, I will link it to chapter 3. Okay? Now, verse 18. And the Lord said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." Right? Here we can see how thoughtful God was towards Adam. He would like to find him a helper. Not just any helper, but a helper who was comparable to him. Right? And you find that God did not just, get an animal, to be, the helper of what? Of Adam. No. Right? God wanted to create a helper. And you find that this helper actually came from the rib of what? Of Adam. Yeah? Now, so, now I want you to read verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs. Okay, now so from that rib, God fashioned Eve out from it. That is the power of God. Now, obviously, it teaches us about the closeness, the intimate relationship that a husband has with the wife. Okay? No problem. Okay. Now, so after God has created Eve, now I want you to look at verse 22. Then the rib which the Lord God has taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. Right? Now, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Right? Now, here you find that when marriage was first instituted, you can see the closeness, the inseparability between Adam and Eve. They cannot be separated. Right? Now, it's like, how can you separate your bones from your body? That kind of thing. You understand what I'm saying? Can you take out a rib from your rib cage, and say, "Oh, this rib, does not belong to me"? No, it's not possible. Right? So when we talk about marriage, we need to have that kind of closeness, intimacy. Okay. Now, look at verse 24. "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, and man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Right? Now, we understand that this is marriage, and this is between a man and a woman in marriage. Okay, that's why we say never cross the line. The church has been saying to the youngsters, all right, that before marriage, you need to keep yourself so that you will not, sin against God. Okay, now, I think there may be some misconception, thinking that, let's say, a person sinned before marriage. To put it more precisely, let's say someone fornicates or cohabitates before marriage. And some people say, "It's okay, after that I'll get married to the person." But this is not what the Bible teaches. Okay, but I want you to read Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Yeah? We read verse 4. 13 verse 4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Right? Now, as far as this verse is concerned, it seems that the sin of fornication is just as bad as that of adultery. And you find that the writer did not draw a distinction between the two, or neither did he say that one is more serious or more severe than the other. You understand what I'm saying? Alright? That's why, class, remember this, yeah? Remember this. Okay, keep yourself in the Lord. Alright? Okay. Now, we turn back to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Now we look at verse 24 again. Now, therefore a man shall leave his father and be joined to his wife. Now, obviously the idea of joining to his wife is consummation in marriage, right? Consummation in marriage. That is to be joined in the flesh. Right? Now, I don't think this poses a great problem in most marriages. I think it's quite natural. But for a Christian marriage, you find that it's quite different. Right? In order for this marriage to work, now we need to understand, marriage is lifelong. Okay? You do not just, try it out like the people of the world. I just want to try it out. I try my jacket. If I'm not happy with it, I'm going to change another one. No. Okay? And that is not allowable. If we are married and yet we, for some reason, we get divorced and remarried, you know that this is adultery and it's a very serious offense against God. Okay? And that is not permissible as far as the scriptures is concerned. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, so when the Bible says a husband must join to the wife, not only in a physical sense, and he must be joined to the wife in a spiritual sense as well, meaning they must build up their faith together, they must build up their love together, they must learn to cherish one another. Okay? Now, if a couple only join in the flesh, without being joined in faith, without having love for one another, we find that this marriage can break down very easily. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, that's why Christian marriage is very different, very different. If you want to get married, the church will encourage you to think carefully, unless you are really ready, and in all aspects you think that it's okay, then you get married. Right? Now, that's why we don't encourage members who are still very young to get married. Right? Now, we always say that this is not a rule, but it's something that you can think about. It's a reference. We encourage youngsters probably to think about marriage after you have graduated. After you have graduated, so before your graduation, then you shouldn't think too much about marriage, right? You shouldn't be drawn to the opposite sex too easily, okay? Because you can become distracted. You can become what? You can become defocused in your study or whatever. Right? Now, so if you're still studying, then we encourage you to continue with the study first. After you have graduated, then perhaps you can think about it. But again, this is not a hard and fast rule to that, you know, that you must follow exactly. Okay, but I think this is a very good guidelines to follow. Right? So, to be honest, if you are trying to, if you are ready, okay, let's say you have graduated, you try to wait for your Mr. Right to come, then I don't think you can ever get one, to be honest about it. There's no Mr. Right in the world. Right? Why? Because no one is perfect. A human being is fallible. Yeah? And the person can be very nice to you now. But how do you know that he will be nice to you after your after the marriage? Yeah, after 10 years down the line, how can you be sure that he is still nice to you? Right? No. We are facing uncertainty. To be honest, yeah, to get married is like to face with uncertainties. But for Christians, we are different. That's why the church encourages the youngsters to follow the truth of marriage. Now, if both parties are willing to commit themselves, yeah, to the observance of the truth of God, then you'll find that this marriage will work, yeah, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Yeah, you find that you are able to pull through difficult situations, yeah, insofar as you follow the truth of God. Now, you find that, in fact, all marriages, yeah, problems in marriage are due to the fact that, you know, husband and wife, yeah, do not really hold on to the truth of God. Alright? Now, marriage is not about... shall I tell you all this? You're so young. Why are you so interested? Alright. Because I'm talking to a bunch of people who are not getting married. Never mind. Okay. Now, marriage is not about receiving, okay? You must not expect your spouse or whatever to serve you, to give you whatever. Right? And marriage is about what? It's about giving. Right? So the more you give, the more blessing you shall receive. You find that your marriage is wonderful because you are able to serve your spouse. Right? That is the mystery about marriage. You know, the people of the world today are very different. They expect a lot from their spouses. They always want to receive. Okay? But Christian marriage is not about that. Right? Now, that's why I think it's important, you know, for one to have a good marriage, his character or her character must be shaped by the Word of God. Today, if you find that, yeah, if you find that you are, let's say, I assume, okay, it's a hypothesis. If you are a very intolerable person, you cannot tolerate anything. Most likely, when you get married, you find that your marriage will run into problems. That's for sure. Right? Now. Right? And if you are a very quick-tempered person, very likely, maybe even on the night you get married, you start arguing and you start fighting with your spouse. Why? Because what? Because your temperament, your nature has not been changed. Now, that's why class, even though now you're still young, you need to cultivate yourself, yeah, to be a spiritual person. Right? In all things, you find that you are able to exercise the virtues that the Bible talks about. Okay? And in this way, it's like you are preparing yourself. Yeah? You're preparing yourself, you know, for marriage. You find that if you live a very loose life, you know, unrestrained, not disciplined at all, then you run into trouble after you got married. Surely. right? That's why it's important. It's important, yeah, for us to cultivate ourselves now. Start from now. We must be very disciplined in every aspect of our life. Right? Now, I'm not doing a marriage counseling, so I don't think I want to go too much into it. Is that enough? Not enough. Why not enough? But I'm running out of ideas. Eh? Sorry? Continue. Okay. I want to read a few verses. Yeah? Now, since we are talking about marriage, yeah, just let you understand. Yeah? Now, once you have entered into marriage, yeah, you cannot change. Yeah? You cannot say, if I have known it earlier, I would not have married to this guy. Too late, I tell you. Okay, now turn to, where is it? Okay, Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, yeah? Now we read verse 4 to verse 6. Yeah? Matthew chapter 19, verse 4 to verse 6. And he answered and said to them, Have you not read that he who met them at the beginning met them male and female? Now verse 5. And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now, verse 6, so then they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate, or let no man put asunder. Alright? Okay, so we need to understand, as far as the teachings of the scriptures are concerned, once a person is married, then there must be no separation. Only with one exception. Yeah, unless adultery happens in the marriage. Okay, and the victim of the marriage can obviously opt to stay with the marriage, within the marriage, or choose to leave the person. Okay? Now, apart from that, there must be no divorce. You get what I'm saying? Now, we need to understand we are not people of the world. We cannot say, I'm not happy with this guy, forget it. Yeah? You know why? Because nighttime he snores too loudly. He disturbs me. I cannot sleep. So, let fire divorce. You can't do that. You understand what I'm saying? Is that clear? Right? So, if you want to get married, then you need to be ready. Right? You must be very determined, yeah, to ensure that your marriage works throughout your life. Okay? Now, there must be no separation. Yeah? They must be joined together till death, then they shall depart. Okay? That is... Now, I want you to read chapter 19, verse 9. Matthew. Chapter 19. Verse 9. And I said to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Right? Now, so the Bible is very serious about this. So we must we must take this very seriously. Right? That's why, you know, this is always our prayer and our hope, you know, that the children of the church, you know, the youngsters of the TJC, you know, will always keep themselves and hold on to the truth of marriage. Okay? Now, in this way, you find that you are blessed by God, right? And in all things that you do, you find that the presence of God shall, you know, accompany you. Right? Very important. Now, I want you to read Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians. I think we need to know more about the case before we can say anything about it. So normally, what the church does is, you know, the obviously the full time workers would sit around to discuss, right? So before a person before he came to the faith and he has already divorced, and if his wife or a husband has already married to another person, obviously, you know, this person can get married again. Okay. Now we turn to Ephesians. We turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Now I just want to ask a question, yeah? I want to pose a question to the sisters, because if you want to get married, yeah, and ask yourself this question, okay? Now, verse 5:22. Now, wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. Now, can you submit to your husband? And obviously, when you are in love, you say, no problem. Surely, whatever he wants me to do, I will submit. When you fall out of love, wash your own socks, forget it. Cook your own rice. Is it not true? You take the pillow, sleep out. Is it not true? Yeah? Now, the question is, this is a very important question. You know, in marriage counseling, we always talk about this. We don't follow the establishment of, in the church, the institution of the church. You know, in the church, we don't talk about, equality. Because this is the order that God has set in the family, then who are we to alter it, to change it? Right? Now, that's why I ask you, can you submit? Can you submit? I can't see you because it's, you know, the light is bright. So I can't see your face. I can't see your facial expression. I'm in complete darkness. I'm blinded by the glorious light. Can you submit? No, I think it's a very practical question. Can you submit to your husband? Very difficult, isn't it? Yeah? That's why I said, if you have been cultivating yourself, then obviously when the day comes, that it will not pose a problem. Because you have been training yourself to be a virtuous woman. Can you submit to your husband? Can you submit? If you can't even submit to your parents, how can you submit to your husband? If you can't even submit to the church, then how can you submit to the husband? You know. Nowadays, we find that more problems, occur in marriages. Yeah, more and more now. Right? But by analyzing it, we understand that it is because the mindset and the mentality of people have changed, and the value of the scriptures, it have not been adopted. Yeah, that's why you see a lot of problems in marriages today. Right? Can you submit? No, that's why I said it's a very important question. You know, even during the marriage counseling, we said if you're not ready, if you cannot submit, if you think you can't, then don't force yourself. Right? Give yourself more time. maybe another 6 months, postpone your marriage. Serious. And we don't want to see you, you know, fight on the first day of your marriage. Yes. You know, engagement to me, to us, is like a form of, like a person has been betrothed to someone, even though it's not marriage, but in the eyes of God, you know, in the eyes of God, it's like you know, the couple have agreed to come together. Yeah. On a certain at a certain time in the future. You understand what I'm saying? Thank you. Thank you for blocking out the light. Now I can see everyone. I know your facial expression. Okay. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, that's why, again, if you want to get engaged, then you have to make sure that you must follow through. Right? I think this is very important. And also, if you get engaged and then you break down halfway, you know, it becomes very difficult for you to put it this way. You know, move around in the church. You feel bad about it because of the things that happened to you. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, class, if you cultivate yourself, if you are prayerful, then I believe God will guide. Right? Now, obviously, if you want to follow your own standard, you know, then it becomes very difficult for you to make your marriage successful. Very difficult. You know, they are young couples. Huh? Sometimes give us a lot of headache. I'm telling you, seriously. Right? And when you look at it, yeah, the reason actually is very simple, because they don't follow the truth of marriage. That's it. And they are not cultivated. Yeah. And they get angry very easily for no reason. Right? Now, so, if you want to get married, yeah, even if you don't want to get married, you need to cultivate yourself. That's the most important thing. Eventually, when you study the minor prophetic books, who can remain in the mountain of God, the church of God? Those who are cultivated. If you're not cultivated, you'll be phased out. Because you will be, all of us will be put to the test. That's why we have to take our belief, our faith seriously. If we say we believe in Jesus, then we have to follow what the Bible says. Simple as that. You shall be blessed. But how many of you don't want to get married? Raise your hand. How many of you don't want to get married? You don't want to get married? Not really. Can I ask you a question? But you don't have to answer. Okay? Have you ever thought about boys? You don't have to answer me. No? No? Class? We are talking about remaining single, yeah? The gift of celibacy is not given to everyone. Right? It's a special gift. If you don't have the desire, the urge, then it's fine. Then you can remain single. But if you don't have, then you don't have to force the issues. Right? You may even end up sinning against God. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. If you think you have been given the gift, then it's fine. But you know, this is a very simple test. You know, has the idea of getting married ever crossed your mind? Spend 1 hour talking about this. just to satisfy your curiosity, whatever. Any question? Okay. Now, for the brothers, yeah, I want to ask you a question. Okay, we read the same chapter. Okay, we read 25, yeah? Now, husband, love your wife, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, obviously, if you look at the first part, yeah, love your wife, no problem, love the wife, no problem. Yeah, is that not true? It's so easy to love. I love you, I love you. Simple. But the Bible is not talking about that kind of love. It's not talking about I love you, I love you. No. It's talking about what? Sacrificial love. And that's why here it says, yeah, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Meaning, you are willing to die for your wife. Are you ready? Are you sure? Not easy, is it? Then if you're not willing to sacrifice, you know, like for us, and we have a lot for brothers, yeah? You know, for brothers, you find that we have a lot of habits, okay, that we need to change. You get what I'm saying? Yeah? In order for the marriage to work. But sometimes we are not willing to sacrifice. We are not willing to get rid of all this bad habit. If you can't, you know, sometimes you like hang out, you know, with your friends until 11, then you come back. But after you've got married, you cannot. There's sacrifice. You understand what I'm saying? You need to ask the wife, oh, can I go out? And I said, oh, most I mean, lose face. Right? So, a lot of things to think about, you know, before marriage. Seriously, it's not that easy. If you really want your marriage to work. Yeah. Now, one more verse. Return to 1 Peter. Chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Okay, we read this one again, talking about submissions to the husband. Okay, now I want you to read verse 2. Verse 3. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Right? Now, I think here is a piece of advice given by Peter to the sisters. Right? Now, that, you know, a wife should not only focus on what? You know, dusting herself with different colors on the face. Right? Blue, green, yellow, black. You understand what I'm saying? Right? That is not acceptable. You can spend hours in front of the mirrors. 3 hours. You know, just to... I don't know what they are doing. 3 hours in front of the mirrors. And then you cannot find, you know, make time to make a cup of tea for your husband. Right? You say, I'm late. After 3 hours, I'm late. Make it yourself. Understand what I'm saying? That is not acceptable. Now, class, I know it's funny, but it's a fact of life, right? It's a fact of life. Now, class, I'm not opposing, the idea that sisters should put on makeup. I don't oppose that. Okay, but everything has to be done in moderation. Okay, now, you don't have to overdo it. You want to make yourself so different when you come to church. You are the only one, the odd one out. Look at who's this guy? Right? You understand what I'm saying? Like, you don't need to do that. Right? Moderation is acceptable as far as the scriptures is concerned. Peter never says that a sister cannot put on makeup. No. Right? And rather he is saying that, you know, what is even more important is what is the beauty within. Okay? Now, you can be the most beautiful in the church, yeah? Sister in the church. But if your character is not up to the standard, then what is the point? You can make yourself look so beautiful, but there's no inner beauty to go with it. But that kind of outward beauty is not long lasting, right? And you find that outward beauty fades away very quickly. You know, when you are 20 years old, you can be brilliant in your look. Like, wow. So beautiful. Now, after 30 years old, I'm not brilliant anymore. You understand what I'm saying? How long can your beauty last? 20 years? That's why you see all the pop stars, you know, even they are 60 years old, they still want to look beautiful. That's why, what do they do? They go under the knife. Cut. It's crazy, isn't it? Yeah. And because of beauty, they are willing to what? Go under surgical knife. What's the point? You get what I'm saying? Yeah? So, what the Bible is saying here is that inner beauty is more important. Right? Now, for the marriage to survive any difficulties, then virtues must come into play. Now, I want you to look at verse 7, yeah, for the brothers. I'm very fair. Brothers, sister, brother. Okay, verse 7. Husband, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. You know, sometimes we say, hey, God does not listen to our prayers, especially those who are married. You know, one of the reasons could be this. Well, because the husband has not been treating the wife well. And it's not easy, because you need to understand them. Okay? And to understand them requires a lot of patience. Yeah? And to understand them require a lot of what? A lot of perseverance as well. Okay? Now, you find that sometimes they may not function, a wife may not respond very naturally to unpleasant events, for example. Being a husband, you must show great understanding. Right? Again, you find that it's not easy. You know, if you were to ask me which one is more difficult, to be a wife or to be a husband, I would tell you to be a husband is more difficult. You know why? You have to sacrifice your life. It's more difficult. And if you are not willing, then it means that you are still not ready to get married. Any questions? Yes, Michael.
Why do you say
in terms of, I guess, okay. I think there are two sides to it, yeah? Obviously, I don't think it applies to all cases. I think the first one is the physical side. I think in a normal circumstance, the husband is always stronger than the wife. Right? And the other thing is, according to Paul, yeah, when you look at 1st or 2nd Timothy, he said, it is Eve who was first deceived. Okay, in that sense, you find that emotionally speaking, you find that sister is more easily shakable. Is that also? Hello? Is it okay? Okay,
so I assume most of you are still very young, so don't think about it for now. Don't think about it. What you need to do is to cultivate yourself. God will provide. Now, I think the church, yeah, just to let you know, the church has set up matchmakers all over the world. All over the churches, all over the world. All over the world. TJC, all over the world. Okay. You get what I'm saying? Now, if you are choosy, fussy, and picky, then you cannot find anyone in the church. And if you try to look for someone who is handsome, who is smart, you know, oh man, then you have to, I don't think you can find. Right? You want someone muscular or whatever. Get him to eat a bit more beef. Okay. Right? Now, that's why I think we need to learn. Obviously, I'm not saying that you should not think about compatibility. I also believe in that. Yeah, but do not overstress that. Okay? Do not overstress it. If you overstress it, then it's like, it becomes very difficult for you to find a suitable person. Right? And again, I think if the mindset is spiritual, then God will guide. God will guide. You know, sometimes we help, you know, certain members in the church. Very difficult, because I think their standard is too high. Very choosy, very picky, very fussy. Anything end with S-Y, you name it. Picky, choosy, fussy, what else? Very difficult. Okay? So, return back to where am I? Genesis, yeah? Now, verse 25. Now, I think we need to look beyond the physical aspects of things, yeah? Now, 25 also tells us about there must be a complete transparency between husband and wife. You know, I understand, you know, that some wives, I think they have their own private accounts, for example, bank accounts. Well, just in case the husband, yeah, don't want them to have enough money. That kind of thing, right? And that is being not very transparent. Okay. Husband and wife must be very honest, truthful towards one another, and must be transparent. Is that clear? Right? Right, next time, when you are ready, then let me know. Yeah, if I'm still alive, then I can help you. Yeah, I'm being honest. I cannot say I can live for forever. Very easy. Come to my house, then we have a meal together. We talk, chat, and that's it. Mine is very simple, to be honest. But I'll ask you tough questions. Okay. Liam, why are you so excited?
I'm not excited.
You're not excited. Okay, let's say a silent prayer. Amen.
Someone go by there.
Cool.